So then we got him. He's out of the picture.
Then comes Bruce.
The Jenner guy comes. Uh-huh.
Right. Now, he was an Olympic athlete, right?
Yes. What did he do?
He won in 1976 the decathlon. There's really not even enough time to look up what that is. There's so much information.
Isn't he a runner? Is that...
Yeah.
Enough?
Well, but I did look it up because I was super interested. So it's track and field, like 10 track and field events over 3 days. And he won the whole thing, I guess.
Wow. So you're not just a runner. You're all the things like pole vault and long jump and all that kind of stuff.
That's what you have to do to get on the Wheaties box.
Hurdles?
Sure.
My goodness. I loved the hurdles.
No, you didn't.
I loved hurdles. Stop it.
What?
You know that I always...
Nobody likes hurdles.
No, for reals. I have never even said that out loud, but I'm feeling so much freedom by just remembering and stating
Girl,
my truth that
let
I love
it go.
Hurdles. Yes.
Wow. I love hurdles. Are you so good at hurdles?
No.
Okay.
I really wasn't that good. Well, I was kind of good at them, but.
Hey, that's so funny. That's crazy because we're not sporty people.
I was no Bruce Jenner.
No.
This is Emily Thomas, and you are listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. Welcome back, ladies. You are listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. The show is dedicated to helping you not run away from home. Each week, I do my best to make sure that you learn something new, laugh a lot, and remember that you are already enough. And I'm going to try to remind myself of that too. So this episode is number 141, and I'm talking to Jenny Allen. But before we start, I wanted to remind you that at the top of the show, you heard a teeny tiny piece of my Struggling Sisters show that I do twice a month with my sister Katie. We release additional content for supporters of the show, and we teach each other things, and we laugh a whole lot. So if you're interested in more of those types of things and the ability to contribute to what we do here each week, we would love to have you join us. The amount you donate is completely up to you. You can do $1 a month. It would really help me out if each of you would do $1,000 a month, but that's totally up to you. But I always like to encourage $1,000 a month. So just think on that. So you can head over to patreon.com/momstrugglingwell and start listening to all the episodes we've released up to this point. The cool thing is you'll get a little secret URL and you just plug that into your podcast app. So you don't ever have to keep going back to patreon.com. All the new things are going to come right into your podcast app effortlessly. We just chose some music for the Struggling Sisters show, and all of a sudden it's just gone to a whole nother level. You give a podcast some music, and all of a sudden, it's legit. So don't miss out on this legit podcast. Go to patreon.com/momstrugglingwell. Okay, so this week, I'm talking with Jenny Allen. We talk about, obviously, the IF gathering. She just moved to Dallas from Austin, so we talk about big transitions with your kids. They needed to move for some of the kids in particular, but then some of the other kids had to move and it wasn't really necessarily benefiting them. And so how do you balance all that? What's it been like on their family? What's been working? I also wanted to talk to her about some tools that she recommends for studying God's word. She also talked about an incident that she had to kind of navigate how to deal with bullying with one of her children. And that's never as tidy of a solution as we would hope. So anyway, lots of really good things in this conversation. Let's go ahead and get started on my chat with Jenny Allen.
Well, hi, Jenny. How are you today?
Great.
Will you please tell us who you are exactly?
Sure. So I'm a mom and a wife, and I grew up in Little Rock, Arkansas, and live now in Dallas, Texas. Just moved here from Austin. So lots of grief leaving a town we loved and raised our kids in. And I also lead an organization called IF Gathering, and I'm a writer and a teacher.
You're a little busy.
A few things.
Just
yeah.
A little. Okay. So I want to ask you so many questions, but tell me about the move. Why and how's that been for you moving with kids? How have your kids done?
Well, I love the name of the podcast, Emily, because it's definitely been a struggle. So I'm on topic.
Yeah.
We have two younger kids. have unique learning disabilities, and they have just needed resources that we were having a hard time finding in Austin. Okay. And we certainly could have found them if we'd moved within Austin, but we realized once it involved a move that we really missed living near family, and both of our jobs were somewhat portable. I will say we had to move an office of several people, but yeah, it was a big deal. My son had started at 6 years old at the school that he was going to, and he was a senior. Mm-hmm. So he'd grown up with these kids and was leaving his senior year. It was heartbreaking. And we really gave him the choice. We said we can wait a year to move. But I think we saw a lot of good things about him being part of the move. And I'm so grateful. I mean, he's a different human than he was before the move. I mean, just the risk of showing up at a new school and having to start over when he never had. And to do that with us, to do that in a family situation where he's got the support and really friendship. I mean, we're really close family. And so there was that fallback. He was able to take risks and be disappointed and left out and just learn what it means to not be the big kid on campus.
What a big adjustment. So you have three kids?
We have four.
Okay, so you have four. So the two youngest ones were kind of the impetus for moving, but then the other two just kind of were along for the ride.
But the cost was greatest for those two big ones because they, again, were leaving a life they loved and were thriving in.
So he's done well. How's the other one done?
So my sophomore girl is, I look up to her. She's unbelievable. She loves God. She's unique. She's kind of already, she went through her identity crisis younger.
Okay.
Because of a bully actually at school that I think brought her to a place of just, okay, am I going to live based on what people think, or am I going to find my security in Christ? And, you know, you hate watching your kids go through struggle, especially struggle that like that, where you're watching. I mean, this was a 2-year situation that was both online and verbal, and
really,
and it was just hard to watch. And I thought, I can't, I mean, I, and you know, very lost as to how to help.
Yeah. What ended up working? I know it's a tangent, but it's a big deal.
I mean, the only thing that was helpful, I mean, first of all, I always tell my kids, never write somebody off in middle school. Like, you just don't know who they're going to become. So give a lot of grace because you're hurting people. They're hurting you. This was a unique situation though, that I think God used in her life to thicken her skin, to help her realize like, I can face hard things in my life. And I mean, she would say she's a different person from it, but there were a lot of tears. There were a lot of times that I just want to pick up. The problem was in rallying support, whether it's from teachers or from her mother, it seemed to only make it worse. So
really,
it wasn't, you know, that's the age where you can subtly hurt people, right? You have nuance starting in middle school. It's why girls get meaner and everything begins to, you pick up on the subtleties of differences between people, and it just, you know.
Yeah. When did you know that it was time to step in and rally support?
Oh, I wanted to step in from day one. I just did not, again, I didn't see my help helping. And she was very adamant that I not step in. And, you know, this is a hard one. I don't have enough space from it to say there's a right way to handle that, because in some situations you're looking at it causing irreparable damage. I mean, you can't, I mean, there are certainly times I do think that parents should and need to step in. And at times I tried, you know, and for us, it was a lot of conversations, staying very in the know of how her heart was doing and what she needed to survive and to thrive still. And, you know, I do feel like one thing I see with my kids and my family is having four kids, it seems that there's an ebb and flow to each of their needs. Like, there's just certain seasons that one kid requires way more attention than the others. And, you know, that was a season where she did get a lot of us, where we were very in tune with how, just to make sure she didn't slip too far, where her identity was being crushed, or her, or she was slipping into depression or something like that. So we were tied into her emotionally during that
time.
Do you
like bring it up a lot?
Oh, all the time.
Okay.
Honestly, I probably checked on it every day.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I probably worried about it every minute, you know, it was pretty all consuming in my mind, just because it's one thing to get beat up yourself. It's another thing to watch your little kid, send them out the door and watch them get beat up, you know, and this has happened at different points, different kids. And I am quite sure my kid has been the one doing the same. You know, I'm not saying my kids are above it by any means. Yeah. In fact, at any time I get a call saying, hey, your kid did this, I'm like, I'm sure they did. Like, you know, I'm quick to know that my kids can very much be the troublemakers as well.
Yes, I'm definitely not the mom who's like, my little angel.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, oh yeah, yep, sinners everyone, you know, me too.
I'm not sure if you know this, but leggings are so much more than just workout clothes. Great leggings are truly a necessity, and that doesn't mean they should cost a fortune, though. That's why I'm so glad that I found Fabletics.com. Fabletics clothes are designed to move with you through your lightest workouts and the most intense. They're available in sizes extra, extra small. That's what I wear. Just kidding. To 3X, there's petite, regular, and even tall lengths. So when you visit the site for the first time, you're going to get a style quiz. They tell you kind of what you're going to love based on what you've said. They have lots of really fun things with patterns, but I tend to be more towards the simple neutrals. And so that's what they show me because that's what I said I like. Makes it really easy. And if you sign up to be a VIP, you're going to save 40 to 50% off the retail price. I signed up as a VIP member and it's awesome. I ordered some black leggings and some gray joggers. I have no intention of jogging in them, but I kind of like that that's what they're called. Makes me feel like I've already done something. They're going to arrive here pretty soon and I can't wait. I will really enjoy sitting around in my joggers. Being a VIP at Fabletics is great. I love it and I know you will too. So go to fabletics.com/MSW now and get two pairs of their amazing leggings for just $24. Seriously, these are the world's best leggings. They're $99 value and you're going to get two pairs for only $24 when you join fabletics.com/MSW. That's fabletics.com/MSW. So how is the family unit, like all of you together, back to the move thing? How have you guys all kind of stayed cohesive as people are feeling feelings and grieving different losses?
Oh, I mean, that's probably been my favorite part is everyone has learned to express themselves in a deeper way because, I mean, there's probably been at least 4 to 5 times where everyone in our family, all six of us, are in the same room crying together through this. And you know, you don't sign up for that. Like you don't go, I want to go through a season where all six of us cry together. Like you don't want that. But when you're in the middle of it, you know it's something sacred and special. And you know that you're depending on each other in a different way and you're seeing different sides of each other and you're appreciating what the other ones are going through because you're kind of all struggling together at the same time, where much of parenting has been this ebb and flow with each kid. This season has been like, okay, we're all in this together. I'm making friends. I'm scared. Like, I don't know anyone. I mean, it's not just you, but certainly the intensity of having to show up at a brand new, huge public school for the first time is definitely intimidating.
Okay. So what's it like for Jenny Allen to try to be friends with people at a Christian church? I'm not trying to say like you're a really big deal, but you really are a big deal to, you know, there's name recognition. They see your face.
Yeah.
What's that like?
I mean, people are so, you know, my view of all that is one, not that many people know who I am, but the people that do are such kindred teammates and friends. Like I don't really see it as celebrity as much as I do. We're on mission together and I'm building tools for them to help serve and love their people. I don't feel on a pedestal because I'm not that kind of leader. Like I've never been someone that wants to be on a pedestal. So I've never let, like, I don't.
But I think it's got to be weird when other people feel like you are on one.
Yeah. And that's true. Okay. So maybe you're exposing the way I do deal with it, which is a lot of naivety. I mean, I really don't think about it. Like I don't walk into a room and think, wow, I wonder who knows me. Like I'm just not thinking about it. If somebody does recognize me, I love hearing how, like I love going, well, tell me about you. Like, I love them. Like, okay, that means I probably or might love Jesus or, you know, it automatically serves as a, okay, we're part of a sisterhood that is bigger than the fact that they read my book or did my Bible study. It's to me, it's something like we're on the same team for a few years here and that I'm honored to know other people. So I really feel that way at church. I've definitely gotten to meet a lot of girls, you know, at our church that we're attending right now that have done that. And I love it. I mean, I find great friends and it's great.
I mean, it's awkward.
I probably don't see it the way that I maybe even should. I probably should process it further. But to me, it's always been helpful just to do the work and keep my head to service and taking care of my people and helping other people take care of their people. Like that's my view of it. And
it's good.
So when I meet people, it's like, well, we're in the trenches together in some way. And it's proved pretty true. And I love hearing people's stories.
So good. Okay. So Speaking of Bible studies and things, my friend Alexander asked, what are your favorite apologetics and systematic theology books? What is a great source that you love when you're studying?
So my favorite go-to, so I've got, I've got several and a lot of them are online, but my favorite, like just off the shelf, I mean, you got to have a Greek Hebrew dictionary. You got to have Systematic Theology by Rayne Grudem. You've got to have some commentaries. My commentaries though, which I depend on the most for prep, are largely online. So I have a great website called Precept Austin. If you don't know about it, it's a good one. I use Logos as well.
Yeah, me too.
That's really expensive. Precept Austin is free. So I like
got the tiniest Logos one.
Yeah. And that's really, I mean, that's plenty, right? I don't know how many commentaries, but it's more than I've ever owned on my shelves. So I really think that that's pretty thorough. You can do that, but that's that even that's pretty expensive. So Precept Austin is probably my favorite. And on that, I mean, there's about a dozen. I read pretty diversely when it comes to commentaries, just to make sure I understand the arguments and the different sides on something. So I'm not surprised later. That's the worst when you like get feedback, especially if you publish and you put it out there and you're like, oh, wait, oh, shoot, I shouldn't have done that or said that.
Yeah. How would you direct a listener who would like to know more about that type of stuff, but it feels way too over her head? Like, I get a lot of feedback that women feel like they can't understand the Bible unless someone else is telling them. And I think that we don't give ourselves enough credit that we have the ability to understand God's word on our own.
Yeah. So the first thing I would do is, and I've got to find the name of this one, but If Equip built a study of how to study your Bible. Actually, we're doing one again right now on Philippians.
Oh,
that's the most helpful tool you can learn. If you can learn how to study your Bible, you're going to feel empowered. And it's really four steps. And so I would highly recommend that one. And I believe the recent one's called Together. It's on an app for free or on our website for free, or you can order a book and get it in your hand if you like that. But it is unbelievably helpful to just know how to read your Bible. There is a way to do it. And I think we've got to be careful as those who contain. Zach always says, my husband always says, Jenny, never take for granted your knowledge. And what he means by that is kind of like it's a privilege that you have been to seminary, that you have the time and the margin and the desire to study as much as you study and read as much as you read. So don't assume that other people have that. Make sure that you're showing that. Like, show how you learned that. Show. I love that you're asking this question, in fact, because of this, that we need to like pull back the curtain and say, hey, there's not mysticism. Like all these people that give great, unbelievable talks, they're building those talks in a systematic way. Now, there is special, like there are certain people that have a special anointing or gifting for certain things, but you better believe they're also working hard. And there's a method to that madness. I've been so blessed to be able to learn from a lot of that method, and it's helpful. So I think understanding that there's a way to read your Bible, and it's simple. And many, many people for generations and generations have practiced it. And it's not mystical. It's just, it's really practical and simple. And so, and that there's tools we're using and we're understanding. I mean, I barely know a teacher that doesn't use commentaries. You double check your work. We're going to teachers that that are teaching us. So I think it's good to recognize that, you know, there's not some like special source of knowledge that certain people possess. It's it's available to everybody. And that's why I like giving away those websites, because it's like, oh, I love that that exists. That anyone can go right now and look at that without paying so much money to get a big stack of commentaries or an expensive program.
That's so good. And I think we sometimes think, well, I don't have enough time with tiny little babies to devote to writing a book or studying an entire book of the Bible or whatever. But yeah, just take a tiny passage and dig in super deep and see what God does. Like it, I don't know. I'm just tired of seeing women disqualify themselves. We just don't need to do that.
Well, and I mean, we prioritize what's important to us. And I think that's true for all of us, right? Like I think there certainly have been times, especially since ministry has started to become my profession, even though it isn't a profession to me, but at the same time, like a lot of times it's associated with a lot of work. So a deadline or an event or something that I've got to prepare for. So what happens is I'll prioritize like Netflix over like personal, like devotion and study. And, and so I get it. I'm not saying that from a like higher up place. It's more of a convicting place of like, if I want to be near to Jesus, then I figure it out. And if I'm not prioritizing that easily falls away. And that happens all the time for me.
Let me ask you, as somebody who, like, I do some kind of mini devotions on this show, but then I also, in my own personal study, I don't kind of want to study what I'm about to teach because then it feels like work. How do you, do you study two different things?
I absolutely keep it separate.
Okay. Cause I can't, I wasn't sure if that was silly, but it did feel like I know in my heart I'm working. I'm not spending time with the Lord.
I'm with you. I mean, there are seasons where my work is so intense that it is my devotion. I'm growing like crazy and I love it. But like recently, I'm not under a deadline. There's nothing big I'm preparing for. However, in June, I'm teaching a study on this. And I mean, I could like start choosing those things. And I was like, nope, I'm picking James. Like, not teaching James for the next, like, as long as I can see, I want to do James because I need something that I'm not teaching over the next year.
Okay.
And I think that that helps me turn that off. So I don't think there's anything wrong with it for me personally. It's just that I like taking breaks where I'm just reading something for my pure, like, holiness and understanding personal about God and not something I'm regurgitating to other people. Yeah, I think that helps me for sure.
I'm sure by now you have heard of RX bars for grown-ups. Those are just like regular RX bars. They don't say for grown-ups on them anywhere. But RX Bar has now come up with RX Bar Kids. It's a clean label snack bar made with high quality real ingredients, and it's designed just for kids. I know as a parent, I'm constantly trying to get my kids to eat healthy. They act like it's their job to fight me on it, but they do not fight me when it comes to RX Bars. They have three flavors, chocolate chip, apple cinnamon raisin, and berry blast. My kids love the chocolate chip. I actually like all of them. I keep them in the glove compartment so that when we are getting hangry after school, we can fill our mouths up with things because then we can't say as many unkind things to one another because our mouths are full. So if you have not seen them yet at Target, you can get them at Target, or if you want 25% off your first order, you can go to rxbar.com/MSW and then enter promo code MSW at checkout. So that's rxbar.com/MSW, promo code MSW. Okay, I got to tell you guys about another podcast sponsor who has got me spending my own money on this stuff. Y'all think this podcast is costing you money. It is costing me money too. So Care Of is a monthly subscription vitamin service made from effective quality ingredients, personally tailored to meet your exact needs. Even when you try to keep a healthy diet, it can be hard to get all the nutrients that we need. Vitamins can fill in the important gaps that your body's missing from your diet and give you an extra boost when you need it. Care Of has an online quiz that's fun, and it makes it really easy to figure out what vitamins and supplements you specifically need. The subscription box includes individually wrapped packets with your specific vitamins and supplements for easy grab and go. And it costs about 20% less when compared to similar brands at local drug and health food stores. Can I tell you the best part? I mean, this is so silly, but it's just making all the difference in the world. These people are genius. Every single packet says, "Hi, Emily," and I'm like, "Hi, vitamins." And then it has a tip or a fact or a challenge or something. And I know that it doesn't make sense, but I am just sure my vitamins are really wishing me the best. And so I keep coming back for more. It is crazy, but I'm so hooked. There's even an app that I can't even believe I'm saying this out loud. You get credit for taking the vitamins and then you like earn free things. I am such a sucker for that kind of stuff. Care Of is giving 25% off to Mom Struggling Well listeners. So visit takecareof.com and enter code MSW. So that's takecareof.com, coupon code MSW for 25% off your first month of personalized Care Of vitamins. Try not to love those cute little packets with your name on them. How, with all the things that you do have going on, how do you know when you're doing too many things?
Oh, it's the number one question. Yeah. Again, I am unusual. Like the way I view everything, my husband and I are a team. There's nothing I'm making decisions on really without him. It's a joy to me. And part of that is because he's one to push me further than I would push myself. I tend to crave comfort. Okay. And so I don't want to work that hard. So I can tend to pull back when I really should run. And he's really good at navigating and helping me process. And so I love the protection of just his voice in my life and him saying, "Hey, you know what? I think you've been on the road enough. Like, why don't you say no to these things that have come in recently?" And I kind of take a deep breath and it feels good. And there's times it doesn't. There's times I'm like, okay. Well, let me make a case for this one because I really, he's like, no. Like, oh, really? And I mean, again, we are a team and he's not one that's like, you know, sit down woman and obey me. Right. He's not that way at all. He's very relational and he cares about the work of God, but yet he also knows our family and our rhythms. And, but he's not one to like stingily just say, "I don't want you to go anymore because I want you to serve us." And I mean, he's very much like we are building the kingdom of God together, whether we're parenting, whether we're speaking, whether we're, and he's got public gifts too, whether we're, you know, he did a wedding last weekend, whatever we're doing, we're building the kingdom of God in the everyday and whatever he calls us to do. So for him, it's like he's stewarding our lives. And and so I find a lot of protection in that. He's a good protector. And then also it's just, I work well in ebb and flow. And some people, this would drive them crazy, but I will work. So if anybody that follows me on Instagram for the last 6 weeks, they think I'm an insane person. Like they're like, oh my gosh, you've been in how many cities and you've been out of the country and you've led If Gathering. And then you immediately turned around and went here and there. I'm like, yeah, because for the next 6 months, I'm pretty much going to be home.
Nice.
And I work well that way. I love to go, 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 go. And then I'm done. Like I'm out and I'm going to be home and I'm going to write a book and I'm going to be a mom and I'm going to be in my workout clothes and I'm going to, you know, so that for me is a better rhythm. Now, some people would, it'd make them crazy and they like the spreading out of things and staying continually busy. I like being home and in my routine too much. So I kind of will pack it all in and then enjoy a season at home.
That's great. Okay. So let me ask you about the If Gathering. I've gone, I believe every year, except this year I was speaking somewhere and I couldn't go. Is every year God does a different thing? Like, I don't know. I just want to know, like, how is this year different than the other years?
Yeah. So for me, I feel like we've all been this big team kind of growing together. Not that everybody started in year one with us, because it's certainly grown a lot every year. But I do kind of feel like, okay, year one, like the talk that year was on Hebrews and it was, hey, we're going to run our races and we're going to get in this race. And I mean, I believe at that point, half the church was like, I don't know what my race is. I'm not running my race. I don't know. I haven't engaged in that. And then all of a sudden I look up and I'm like, oh my gosh, everybody's running. You know, it was just, he's a huge shift in women in the last 5 years. I mean, it's unbelievable. Like we've all kind of grown up together and embraced our callings and we aren't as afraid as we used to be. And so now we've got new problems. So when I looked at this year and I was really praying and going, okay, Lord, where are women today? The women that we're leading, even though they're in all different countries, even though they're all different denominations, even though they're all different races, even though we're all different ages, like where are women in general? And I sensed it was in the perseverance of, hey, okay, I've been following God and it's hard and I'm tired and I feel beat up. And I need encouragement. And so this year hopefully felt like a huge breath. And that's the word I heard. The words I heard about this year was, it was so peaceful. It was so life-giving. It was so encouraging. There have been years I'm sure people walked out and were like, it was the biggest kick in the pants. Like I was totally challenged. This year, I think it was this deep exhale that people were like, okay, like, hey, am I doing it when I'm working a job that brings me no joy and I'm not married and I'm sitting here like faithfully going and I don't feel called to leave, but I don't know why this matters. Am I doing it? And it was this big, like, yes. Like, are you following Jesus? Do you love him more? Do you love the people around you? You're doing it. Yes. Like run on, you know, it just, what I wanted to do is change the mark of success and bring it way, way back down to, hey, you can have all the things. Like, again, I can go right or speak or whatever, but do I have my disciple, like the people that I am investing in life on life, regularly pouring into? And if I don't have that, I'm not winning. If I do have that, I am winning and everything else is extra. Like, I think it was just this relief and that's going to feel hard a lot of days and that's okay. And it's hard for a lot of people and it's worth it to keep going and to just keep doing the small, faithful, obedient things.
Yeah, even when it's imperceptible that it even makes a difference at all.
Yeah.
So is it going to be in Dallas soon? I mean,
yeah. Okay. We are moving it to Dallas next year.
So sweet.
We're excited about that. Yeah.
I'm excited about that. Okay, I want to take a moment and tell you about ThredUp. ThredUp provides secondhand clothes, but firsthand fun. They are the largest online consignment and thrift store. I like to buy my clothes there because I love going to thrift stores, but I love even more if I don't have to go anywhere and I can still get used clothes. So they started something called Goodie Boxes, which it's not a subscription. So you just get one whenever you want. You just order one, but it's a unique collection of clothes curated by the ThredUp people, customized for you based on the cuts that you like of your clothes, the colors you like, the brands you like, obviously the size that you are. You can say if you want fancy things, things or casual things. I recently got my box. You may have seen it on Instagram because I tried all the clothes on. They did so good. And obviously, I didn't keep everything. They send like 15 things to you. But whatever you don't like, you just put it back in the box and return it for free. And they only charge you for what you keep. It just costs $10 for them to style you. And then once you choose the items you want to keep out of the goodie box, that $10 goes towards the items that you keep. So if you want 25% off your first order with ThredUp, go to ThredUp.com and enter promo code WellMoms25. All one word, WellMoms25. That's ThredUp.com, ThredUp.com, coupon code WellMoms25. So speaking of just like the perseverance of it, it's hard. I don't personally, but a lot of my listeners have tiny babies and they're just always tired and they're really not sleeping at all. So one girl asked, like, how would you encourage her to keep enduring in those seasons?
Oh, man, those are unique seasons. I wish if I could go back to myself in those seasons, I would be like, girl, chill out. Like, you're good. This is going to go by so fast.
Yeah.
I was so, you know, I was worried about many things, you know, is how it went for me. And so I look back and I'm like, gosh, that was such a sweet season. Like, I wish I had just enjoyed the fact that there were days I stayed in my pajamas all day. Like, I wish I hadn't like judged myself or like felt like I should have been doing something else. Like, I wish I just embraced that I could be in my pajamas all day and really like be there with that baby. Or
because in the moment, it feels like your life is slipping away.
Yeah. And there's plenty of time. I mean, they'll come, there's seasons. Back to the ebb and flow thing. I hear balance and I'm so confused. I'm like, who are you? If you're balanced, I've never met someone.
No.
They might be bored. They might not do anything. Mm. But I've never met somebody that's balanced. Because balance is an impossible feat. Even if you're doing it practically, like if you have the scales and they're in your house, and I've played with these scales before, and you cannot possibly make them line up. Like even when you do, like you breathe differently and they get off balance.
Yeah, so okay.
There's just no way. And so it's just such an odd word to me. I'm glad you didn't use it when you asked me the question.
I don't like that word. No, I agree with you.
So I think what I instead, I'm like, I'm surrendered and I'm obeying. And the equation does not equal thriving. The equation equals disaster by the world standards. Like everything about our lives, our kids should be rebelling. They should not feel loved. You know, our family should not be so close. Our marriage should not be intact. Like, it's so funny. We just joined a small group and we did the whole storytelling of our lives and we did all of ours. And we've done a lot of marriage counseling in our lives. There's reasons our marriage is so great. Yeah, right. Like, it's not just, oh, the Lord has blessed us because we've been faithful. No, we have done a lot of work and praise God, He blessed us through the work. Like, there's a lot of grace that He's given us, but it has come through a lot of hours and hard conversations and leaning in. And so my view of that is that, okay, I want to surrender and I want to obey. And many times the very things I thought would destroy my kids or our family are the very things that make us who we are. Okay. And so an example of that is my daughter, Kate. I'm heading into ministry at the same time we're adopting, at the same time my husband's merging a church, at the same time public ministry is growing. And I'm thinking, what? This is not looking good for our future. You know, like, I don't know. Yeah. Something's going to give. And I was so nervous because I was like, I really genuinely love people, but I don't love them as much as I love my kids. Like, I don't want the stranger I don't know in the church in Milwaukee to go to heaven before my daughter. Like, I want my kids to thrive and I want them to love God. And I don't want to sacrifice them on the altar of anything. And so I was so nervous. And I remember God kind of, you know, bring me to a place where it's like, okay, you can't just trust me with this step of obedience. You're going to have to trust me with 5 years from now with this obedience. But I didn't know how that would work out. And years in, my daughter and I are at dinner. This is a few years ago. And she is sitting across from me. We're doing these little conversation cards, probably from If Table or something. And she asked me the question, what are you most afraid of? And I knew the answer immediately. I was like, I'm most afraid that you'll resent Jesus or resent the ministry because of how it's at times brought me away from you or cost you too much. And she just starts laughing. And she's like, are you kidding me? She said, Mom, how on earth could you think I would ever resent something that I am the very most proud of you for? Mm-hmm. And she said, because you love Jesus, I want to love Jesus. And because you have loved people and served people with your life, I want to love people and serve people. Like, and it's just so funny. I'm sitting there thinking all these years, like, oh my gosh, like, Lord, please. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I never thought that it was building her faith. Like, I kept, might destroy her faith. I didn't even consider, like, oh gosh, my obedience might actually build her faith. Now, if she had been watching me try to build my own kingdom or do something out of selfish motivation, or, you know, I'm quite sure that conversation would have gone differently.
Yeah.
But so I'm not saying it never would result in that. But the truth is, I do believe if we're just saying, hey, I'm surrendered and obedient, if that means going, I go. If that means staying, I stay. If that means building, I build. If that means tear down, I tear down. Yeah. And I think when we stay like that and our identity doesn't become fixed on something, and we just truly are like in it for the glory of God, whatever we're doing. I'm not just talking about ministry. I'm talking about whatever our assignments are. I mean, we've all been given multiple assignments. It's not like my only ones are the ones you all see in public. It's also the private things of right now. Like I'm a football mom to two boys and the requirements of that. And, you know, I mean, it's little things and big things, right? It's all of it.
How do you live out in front of them the surrender and the obedience? Because I think sometimes we just get so busy in our lives that I don't know. Like, do you just process out loud with them?
Well, I think we can't underestimate how much they watch. But I have learned to be sure to also tell. So I think it's easy to believe and trust that they're watching, but sometimes we have to use words to say, here's what we're doing and why, and bring them into it. I believe in family meetings. We don't have enough of those at our house. Sometimes we try to do them weekly. Sometimes they end up more like monthly, but we do all sit down and we'll kind of give each other insight into what's going on in our lives, what they can pray for, what we need help with. And there's a lot more compassion, I think, that grows when they understand your assignments and what you're thinking about or working on. And I also try to involve them as much as I can when they're ready. I don't force it, but my teenagers were pretty involved at IF Gathering this year. Like my son was on crew, and I just try to help them see it so they can understand when I'm gone and they can't see it, they have a picture of it. And they see the faces of the people and they know, okay, this is what mom does. And I think that's true, whatever your work is, like just giving them some exposure. The older my kids get, the more quickly you realize, wow, they're becoming humans, like big, normal people, like that will live in the world separate from us. And so I think choosing to expose your kids to whatever it is you care about, whether that's travel and or, you know, working with justice, we've exposed our kids to a lot of that as well. And giving them perspective of hard work. We just, I mean, it can be anything. My great grandfather that, or Zach's great grandfather, their great grandfather that fought in World War II, and like giving, making sure they're hearing those stories, like just exposure, I think is a huge deal. And just choosing that for them.
It's good.
I think just bringing them along.
Yeah. I like it. I like the idea of family meetings. I can't imagine that they would go super well. Sometimes I have expectations and then they're not met at all. And so then it gets frustrating, but that's on me. I could still have the meeting.
The older they get, the easier that goes. I don't know that we could have done it when they were too young.
Yeah.
That would have been frustrating.
Kind of a disaster. Yeah. Well, the last 2 days that we've been doing devotionals, everybody's ended up in a fight. And I'm like, well, that's not really what we had thought. Wasn't what we set out. Because the idea was, we were talking about Adam and Eve, and the question in the devotional was, where is a place that you sin? And so the kids just started telling each other how terrible they were, and then everybody was crying, and I'm like, well, have a good day at school. Like, whoops.
That's anyway. Awesome. Hey, it's real life, girl.
I know, at least I tried.
Exposure.
Oh, man. Okay, so with all that you have going on, and I think it's tricky, you want to take care of yourself. And like we said, balance is a unicorn. It doesn't even exist. But what is your favorite way to like take a break?
I love being outside in any form. I love a great conversation with safe, good friends. I just will choose that sometimes, just grabbing coffee with someone.
Yeah.
You know, for me, I don't count like a day in my robe watching Netflix as rest.
Yeah.
I don't walk away from that re-energized in any way. And I think I needed to recognize that because I was choosing that thinking it was going to provide rest.
Okay.
But for me, so often it's soul rest, and soul rest comes sometimes as I can verbally process with a safe friend, or I can be outside and exercise and like exert energy on something that isn't deep or spiritual or, so I think play is a huge form of rest for me.
Okay.
Like we just went to my sister's ranch and like horseback riding and
nice
fishing and just moving in nature, I think is huge for me.
Yeah.
My son, poor guy, he is an outdoorsman. And so he even last night came in and with this huge, like big eyes and was like, I know why I felt like not myself. Because I haven't fly fished in so long and I don't even know where to go. And we used to live like in Austin where the green belt like we were really close to it. And so he could literally just go out the back door from the time he was 10 years old and go fish. And so
that's a big adjustment.
I don't think we realized how much the city was kind of taking from us as far as like our soul rest and what we, our adventure, you know.
Yes.
Get outside. So we got to find that. You can probably give me some hints.
Yeah, I'm a little more north of you. I don't know if, I bet White Rock Lake might even be closer.
I love White Rock Lake.
Me too. I love paddleboarding there. It's gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even fall off, which I was surprised about. I was expecting to fall.
Well done. That takes like core strength, I think.
I think so. It was also a lot easier than I thought. Like it was a lot more balanced on its own. It required less of me than I anticipated.
Yes. Anyway. I remember watching though my friends get out on there. We were watching them this time and the husband was paddling backwards on the paddleboard.
Yeah.
And he didn't know it. And he was too far away for us to tell him, but it was hysterical. He was just going and it was not working. And he was just falling in and falling in and falling in. And his wife was pregnant and she was just up there like it was nothing.
My goodness. That is amazing. Yeah. And people do yoga on those. I couldn't do that, I don't think. But
what?
People do yoga on goats or with goats. I don't even understand
with
that.
Goats? Did you say with goats?
Yes.
I
and
heard
on horses?
This. I saw pictures. I don't understand.
You have seen pictures? I haven't looked at pictures. But...
yes. It's horrible. I had a girl tell us about it when we were on the road. And she said that it was on a blind date that she got asked to go on. And she did it. And she said it was horrible. And she said the goats like poop everywhere.
What?
And the goats are like on your back. Like you're sitting there. Like on your hands and knees, and the goat's on your back.
What?
Pooping.
A goat?
Like, no.
That doesn't make any sense. That smell alone, that is not zen, that smell. Goat smell. No. And on a blind date, do something safe.
Yeah, she said she didn't go out with him again.
I would not. Yeah. I went on a terrible blind date once, but he took me to the best sushi place, and then I always went there with my husband after that. I was thankful for the discovery. Yes. Okay, so what is something that you just can't stop talking about these days?
Ooh,
could be anything.
Fun. Oh, man. Let's see. Okay, something light and like random is I love pokey. Do you know what pokey is?
Oh, my gosh. Yes, it's so good.
I love it. I'm so into it. And so there's this little bar that opened up near us that's like a pokey bar. You make your own. Like you pick like just kind of like Chipotle or something, but you put in it whatever you want.
What's your favorite part? Okay. Your favorite thing to put in it?
You know, I always get tuna. They have salmon too there. Most places are just tuna.
I love the salmon.
And I get lots of the sesame seeds that make it crunchy. And then I did like zucchini and edamame. I love edamame.
Mm-hmm.
And mango was new. I was ooh.
I do salmon and mango is my favorite things that I need. Oh. I love it. Yes.
So, yeah. My daughter actually applied to work there. So we'll see. She's supposed to start this week. So
it would be so good for you.
I'm like, I wonder if one of your perks is that all your family gets free food. I'm sure it is.
Or at least a discount. Come on.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I love that. My husband is really quite a great cook. And so he just made that for us last night. It's so good.
Oh, wow. Girl, score.
I know. Yeah, I really did. I really did.
That
score
was
there.
Awesome.
Yeah. Well, Jenny, thank you so much for talking to me. I really appreciate it.
I loved it. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, so I hope that you got some encouragement from that. Jenny just is such a steady, reasonable voice. I wish I was more steady and reasonable. You know what I mean? But maybe I only see Jenny when she's steady and reasonable, and I'm comparing her to myself when I'm not. So how can you struggle well this week based on what Jenny said? My first thought is the idea that moving has been hard on all of them individually, but that collectively it's made them stronger. So I love the idea of her and them all just kind of leaning in and doing it together. I think that some of us would rather kind of pull back. So maybe if you're dealing with a family trial right now, you can just kind of head towards one another and see if that doesn't help some healing happen and some growth. Maybe you get the If Equip How to Study Your Bible resource that Jenny talked about. I'll put that in the show notes so you can find it. She also talked about a bunch of other Bible study tools. So those will all be in the show notes too at momstrugglingwell.com/podcast. And then look up this episode and you can find them. Maybe you want to do some goat yoga, although that really sounds terrible. And if you haven't tried those poke bowls, do it. Make sure to have salmon and mango. It's amazing. All right, well, it's time to bring my sister Katie back to talk about what y'all are buying on the Amazon on the Amazon using the Mom Struggling Well affiliate link. The way that you can get to that, if you want to contribute to the show at no cost to yourself, every time you go to Amazon, first go to amazon.com/shop/momstrugglingwell. The cool thing about that is at the top of that page, you'll see my face, which is not the cool thing, but you'll see all the recommendations of the guests we've had on or the books that I just love myself and products. So that's a great place to go and see if you can find the thing you heard about on the show. And it helps the show when you buy it. So anyway, let's bring Katie back on. So what did you find on the Amazon affiliate link purchases?
Okay, so this is for a men's short sleeve shirt. It's plain old shirt.
Okay.
This won't take very long. It just says garbage.
Oh.
That's it.
There you go.
Don't buy that one.
Garbage.
Sorry, these are not great. I really had a hard time finding stuff. I mean, your listeners, all they buy are journaling Bibles and books on parenting. They're magical people. And who's going to leave a 1-star review on that? Sorry.
I'm sorry that my listeners are such a disappointment.
It's so holy. I can't find any garbage up here.
Okay. Well, I hope you've enjoyed today's show. Let me go ahead and pray for us and our week. God, thank you that you are with us in the great times and the hard times, like when the whole family's in transition. Thank you that if we quiet our souls and we just sit with you, you're faithful to talk to us. You're faithful to let us know the way we should go. Lord, for the moms who are really having a hard time quieting down enough to hear you, I pray for peace. And for the moms who are just really hurting right now, I pray for comfort. God, thank you that you are completely and overabundantly able to meet all of our needs, all of our needs. I pray that you would do that for these sweet moms this week. In Jesus' name, amen.